which the Nevi'im and the Gdolei HaChachamim formulated, and which is mentioned many times in the Talmud and the Drashos. In Yana, the idea is of Chias HaMeisim, Chazoras HaNefesh HaZu L'Guf Acha HaFrida. It means that the soul will return to a physical body after it has separated from it. And this is something that nobody ever disagreed with. And therefore, it is not permissible to think that any person who has any religious authority, he's a chacham, Siddur chacham, Kfar Yisrael, had ever had any idea against this. Now, and now I will explain to you why you cannot explain these psukim in the Torah in an allegorical sense, like you could do other things. The first thing Ram says that everybody agrees with the basic idea of this is definition of Chias HaMeisim. No one ever argued on it. Now find any way of Chazal arguments or anything about this. This is accepted as known from Moshe Mishinai. He says, and moreover, this Chias HaMeisim, which is the return of the soul to the guf after death, Daniel mentioned it in a way that doesn't require any further explanation. It's clear. And this is what he says. Hu Amro. He says, V'rabin miyishene admas ofer yakitsu. Many people who are dead, yishene admas ofer, will arise. Eilo l'chaye olam. Some of those who will arise will have everlasting life. V'eilo l'cherpos will be ro'on olam. This is the Pasuk in Daniel. The Dibar HaMalach Lo, the Ata Leich Lekeitz, the Tanuach V'Tamoy L'Garolecha Lekeitz HaYomim. He says, and now you go and you will come back in the end of time. Okay. Aval Mashi Hiskiu She'anu Amarnu Kitzchias HaMeisim Shebemikra Mashal Hu Shekebara. This which people say that we say that Mashal is an absolute lie. V'Otzaz Dovo Behechlet Mitzad Omro. So it says Diba Behechlet Mitzad Omro. And it's Malshin. It's a Metzi Shema. V'nei Chiburenu Tfarnes Farsenu. Our books have already become public knowledge. Halo Yikru Asom. Why don't they read it? V'yiru Hechan Amarnu Dovo Zad. See, where do we ever register them? Zulasim Amarnu B'mashe Kfar Amru Chachmei Yisrael. K'gan Neche Yecheskel Asher Chachmei Talmud Chalukim Ba. Unless they mean what we said and what Chazal argued about Meisei Yecheskel, that whether it really was real or whether it was a mashal. L'chol davar sheyesh machlokes she'eino mevi lidei ma'aseh, ei efshar la'achriya ba'achas mishtei hasvaros l'chavata. This is a klal Rambam says. Because if any time you have machlokes in philosophy among the Amoraim, there is no such thing as psak. No psak halacha. Psak is only in the realm of ma'aseh. Kol davar sheyesh machlokes she'eino mevi lidei ma'aseh, ei efshar la'achriya ba'achas mishtei hasvaros l'chavata. I remember one time I had an argument with a big London on that. He says, no. He says, well, he says, psak and everything. He says, since we paskin like this way, so you must believe this way. That's the psak. The psak is you must believe this way. The Rambam says, ridiculous. Psak is only if it's halacha l'maaseh.
Even in halacha, you don't have to believe halacha.
That's the reason.
What's
the reason? Because apparently the Rambam held that it's impossible. How could you have a tzivu where God says to you, you should deny your what you think is correct? It's an impossibility.
Why? What if the guy's off the wall?
What do you mean? Ah! One second.
Where is
it? Another one of these. The Rambam?
No, where does the tzivu
live? Ah! So therefore he says it's not shaykh to have psakin when there's an argument among Chazal philosophy. Because what are you going to tell a guy? A guy sees philosophy whether it's correct. You tell him, no, you must believe the other way. You understand? How can you tell him to believe the other way when his knowledge says this? You have to tell him to deny his knowledge, right? Once you tell him to deny his knowledge, so what does he have to deny? He has to deny everything he knows. He has to deny Kol Torah Kula. Because Kol Torah Kula is knowledge. You understand what I mean? It's an impossibility.
So
Halacha
is
the
way
to determine. Halacha is
the
way.
You don't have to believe that, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to
do it. Because once you tell a person to do it, then you break the whole system of Torah. The philosophy is kept because of the system. So the system is the maisa, you see. But in belief, how can you command the guy, you tell the guy to deny his intelligence, deny everything he knows? So that means he has to deny everything. So he has to deny that too. Yeah. He has to deny that too. There's nothing. He has nothing left. Can't think anymore. Can't tell a guy to lose his mind.
Yeah, you know you're there. So supposing the guy.
And not because he can't tell to deny his belief. We say if a man is an apicurus, it's one of two reasons. Either it's because he's ignorant, you see, or else because he has an emotion. So he has an emotion. Because since this is the true system, so there must be a reason why I couldn't arrive at it, why I can't see the rationality. So either because it's like a guy in physics. So say a guy, he denies physics. So what does that mean? One of two things. Either he can't think straight, or else he has an emotional hang-up. One or two possibilities. Same thing with the artist. So an apicurus is a guy who simply either he's emotionally not abused, he's emotional. Because if a guy that just wasn't exposed to it, says it's a miss again. He doesn't know any better. But most of the time, if a guy's a real apicurus, a thorough apicurus, then it's a good one.
If
he's good at what he does, then he's emotionally emotional problem. Because he has knowledge and he has to deny it. He has to deny it. The key way is to overcome your emotions. The tzivui isn't to believe. Tzivui to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The tzivui is to overcome one's emotions. That's
the
tzivui.
And when you overcome the emotions, then
you'll see it. But the tzivui isn't to change your mind. There is nothing in Yahadis. And this is one thing where Lahavdul Christianity is completely differentiated from Yahadis. Why? Because in Christianity, the basic premise is to accept something which is completely irrational. Namely, that three is one, or one is three. So what does Thomas Aquinas say?
He said it's irrational.
He says, but you have to accept it.
Why is it irrational?
What? According to the God's telling you, no thing yadis. Yadis is not yadis. That's around it. There's no psak in Amunah. Can't be any psak in Amunah. You can find, if you find one chazal that holds, and you think that is correct, then there's no one that can tell you, you know what I think that was. No, even though all the Chacham arguing is
there's
no Rabban, doesn't matter. Yeah,
a new,
right. That's a new sheet also.
Eventually,
you
know it's right though.
Huh? Eventually, when you die, yeah. And Kanu Kampam. We mentioned that many times in Pirush Mishnayos. And therefore, we say that those people whose souls will return to the body, to the physical, will eat and will drink, and they'll have intercourse and they'll have children, and they will die after many years. Just like in the times of the Mashiach, they'll live longer. The Rambam said they'll live longer in the times of Mashiach because the conditions will be less strenuous. So therefore, the people will be healthier. They'll be able to live a healthier life.
So like
because not because there's a change in the person himself. So there's a people are there. But the real life, the one which there is no end to. He says that's the Chai Olam Haba, that's Olam Haba, which is in which there's no physical body at all, because we think, and this is clear according to anybody that has a mind, that the Olam Haba is a nefesh, is the existence of the soul without a body, just like Malachim. Pirush HaDavar, he says the explanation of this is as follows. He says Ki Agufein Elikvutzas Kelim LePeulos HaNefesh. He says the body is only an aggregate of components for the soul. If so, the soul. He says the chol mashiyesh b'guf nechlek v'shloshe chalakim. He says you can divide the whole body up into three parts. He says there are those, the digestive parts, the mouth, the stomach, the liver, the intestines, and everything in general, all the things that are in the lower stomach. He says, then there's another part. The other part is for procreation. He says, and those are the sexual organs, and the organs in which the semen is created, and the organs in which the child is born.
The
uterus, right.
The doctor.
The other part, and the third part, he says, are those things which the body needs in order to know what's going on in the external world. The senses. Okay.
Those things, I...
Well, and all these things are necessary. Why? Because if it wouldn't be for these things, it would be impossible for the person to move, to search for his food, or to go away from something which is dangerous. And therefore, since man's work is only done with Man receives his things only through the work that he does. In order to know how to do it right, he has to have intelligence. So he has to have physical organs like the hands and the feet in order to be able to move around and maneuver. Okay, so alright. It says therefore it's clear that everything in the goof has a function. Purpose, specific purpose. And therefore it says like this. When the purpose is gone, when the purpose vanishes, and there's no purpose at all, like in Olam Haba, because we explained over there, as all the Chachamim know, that there's no Achil and there's no Shasi and no Tashmish, Chazal said, he says, so therefore you must say that there's no body. Because God does not create anything for no purpose at all. And he will not do any activity. He said, I will not do even the smallest thing, which has no purpose. He says, and Chalila wa Chalila, to say that God does things for no reason at all. He says, yeah, to say such an idea. Because that means, because why are you saying, why? Because he's saying, that's right. Because God is the source of all knowledge and all intelligence. So therefore, the moment you say that he does the slightest thing without a purpose, you're saying he's irrational. So that's the worst, thing a person can say about God, or degradation. Says, therefore, it's impossible to say that God's going to create these organs when they have no function in Olam Haba. Because maybe the people think, these people think, that, say these people think, that the people in Olam Haba do not have any regular limbs, but they still are physical. Maybe Lager is still physical. Ah, because he wants to prove, he says, limbs he definitely can't say they have. Lager's limbs are made for a specific purpose. Every organ in the body is organized for a certain reason, has a purpose. So he says that maybe they'll say that they're physical, but they don't have these limbs. He says, in that case, you'd have to say that they're like wheels, like circles, just a blob of meat, you know, without any thing. He says, kadurim atumim, like round balls. He says, this is only a log. This is just only nonsense. He says, better keep quiet about this idea. What causes them, again, he says, what causes these people to believe such things is because they believe firmly that anything that exists must be physical. And anything which is not physical doesn't exist. Right. The Kalsman. Right. So therefore, the more they want to make a thing real, the more they attribute physical properties to it. You see?
What's
the difference against the Kedurim? The one that wants to attribute to us these nonsensical beliefs, he says he has the right to do that. If he wants to misinterpret our words, he has the right to do that too. He says, because our only purpose is to reach the one intelligent man. Even though we know that because of our writings, thousands and thousands of fools will leave us. What just define what Chesed Meisim is. But he didn't say why it's the Yisoid and the Ani Mamin, one of the 13 Akrim, and why it's so important, and what it really shows. Now he's talking about that if human nature is everything that's average, right? Everything that's average. Average. So then I would say that we really shouldn't be concerned about taking part of human nature. Because if that's the case, so anything that's extraordinarily good, you shouldn't want.
No, so the average person wants that. Therefore,
the
human nature wants.
The average person wants
to rule the world. So therefore, we can say it's human nature.
Human nature say what the average person does, right? Okay, then would you say, almost universally, then would you say, for instance, right? So then would you say, for instance, in terms of style, that wearing a tuxedo is not human nature? Because most people don't wear tuxedos.
Well, that's the way. Most people wear tuxedos. Human nature is to keep up with the style.
Yeah, but that's true. But would you say that anything, any activity at all, we have to take an average, let's say ties. Let's say most people like blue ties. You have one or two people like green or this. So you say those people that like green are not within the realm of human nature? I mean, any accidental feature, like anything which people do, in any way, you will take an average, you're liable to find out that there's most people do this, and then you have a few that do that. Would you say that those few on either end are not part of human nature? In other words, everything, every activity that you do. Or would you differentiate between different activities? No, would you say that certain activities really define the nature of other activities, just accidental? Or would you say that every activity is human?
No, you're saying it's not accidental.
Technical, and we took an average, let's say we took an average of how many teaspoons of sugar a person takes, we get it down to grains, so you're liable to find an average of 70% that have so many.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with human nature.
Why not?
How much sugar?
Why not? Why not? But
if you have one ounce, it's different enough, therefore there's no state of human nature.
Yeah, but we'll take an average. We'll take an average.
Yeah,
but
human nature is
not great. Well, you definitely don't say. No. My definition of nature is culture.
Human nature is inborn. This is culture.
Yeah. Okay, right. But the point is this. Therefore, you're not saying that a person should always be. You're saying human nature is the average, right? That's the average, right? So therefore, a man who's a wealthy man is outside the realm of human nature, because it's not the average. The average man is not very wealthy, right?
No, but the fact that he's average.
Right.
So the fact that he strives is human nature.
Yeah, but having it is not human nature.
No, striving for it.
Ah, but he's definitely outside the realm of human nature.
No. He strives. The fact that he strives.
Strives, everybody strives, but the fact that he got it, just like you said.
That's an accident.
What? That's only an accident, you mean.
Right.
That's not really.
The human nature is that he strives.
You mean there's no such thing as intelligence in business and being able to wheel and deal properly?
No, I'm saying the accident as far as human nature goes.
Oh, so then not every average is included in human nature, right?
No.
Ah. So now, therefore.
We're talking about.
Ah, so how do you differentiate? So then why do you say, how about the guy that happens to know that the best thing in life is the thought? What's the difference between him and between the wealthy man? He also strives for the best thing, which everybody strives for, right? But he knows that the best thing is knowledge. So therefore, he should also be part of human nature.
Right.
Ah, so now we're back to say the tzaddik is part of human nature, right?
Right.
Because the best is striving. And now what about the rest? Now the murderer also should be part of human nature.
Well, I
must say that it's human nature to strive to be outside the realm of human nature. Right?
To be outside, above the average.
Right?
To be above the average.
Right?
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 I would say
it's human nature to be a tzaddik too, because
no,
it's not like sin. Well, if the guy that has information, he wants it.
We see that very few people strive for that.
But we're saying that everybody strives to have the best life. The only thing is that they don't know that knowledge is the best. Just like everybody strives to be wealthy, but not everybody can make it.
We see that it's not human nature to strive to be a tzaddik.
Everybody does.
Because it's human nature to perceive wealth as the best thing.
What? Ah, so in other words, so perception is also part of human nature, right? Ah, but it's human nature.
One second.
Right. Then what about for a wealthy man who is more perceptive in business? That's not human nature.
Wow.
Just like the same reason.
He's striving to be wealthy. I understand that.
But the point is this. So if you're going to say, but you can't include the knowledge that's involved in that striving, right? Because the wealthy man has more knowledge, and therefore involved in his striving is more knowledge, right?
No. It is striving.
Once you say, so why do you differentiate between knowledge and between the striving? Why do you differentiate between those two things?
Why?
This isn't a halachic category, this is a philosophical category. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's halacha is one thing, but if it is a philosophical category, the question is if you're going to show me a striving that's against the striving of everybody else, then that's not human nature, right? Now, if everybody really strives for the good, right, and if you would show the guy that knowledge is the best, he'd agree, so it has to be in line with human nature. You don't think the other guy doesn't have the information. So what are you going to say? That intelligence is, average intelligence is human nature, right?
You know that they wouldn't. They wouldn't strive for it.
What do you mean? If they knew that it was the best?
No, they have emotions. Well,
The emotion prevents from seeing it, but if they see it, then they definitely do it. Most people do not know what the good is. If you show me, that would be true if you show me everybody's in the right.
It might be human nature.
You know what I mean? But you didn't show me.
Still have that emotion. Say what it is. Everyone wants.
Really? That's human nature, right?
Right.
Okay, fine.
Human nature to be something you want.
That's right. That's also human nature.
How about that sort of thing?
What?
Ready?
What's the difference?
It's human nature to strive to be non-human nature in the physical world.
Yeah.
But not in the spiritual world. See the guy losing, man.
Yeah, he's living
right
now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he's taking another step.
He's taking another step. Now he's modifying it.
That's human nature. To
want to have the physical and be above the.
Be above human nature.
Right.
Define human nature in certain areas, but not in other areas.
Only in certain areas, not in other areas.
People want the physical.
Right. Right.
They want to have a big backyard. Right? Who wants to have a shot? We want to have a big backyard. Right? Yeah. So you're above human nature, you're above the non-human nature. But it's unfortunate that the rabbi is above human nature. And it's fortunate that this guy is above human nature. And it's unfortunate that the murderer is above human nature, or below human nature.
But
how he's
above human nature. It's how to get around the question of perception. In other words, so then you include
human nature. 99 out of 100
will not perceive this.
Will not perceive this. That's human nature.
Because it's human nature to be ignorant.
Right.
And it's human nature not to perceive the truth.
You'll find out what human nature is. Right. I think guys don't perceive it as good.
Don't perceive it. Okay.
And you can tell them the truth from here till tomorrow.
Okay.
And they won't perceive
it. Okay.
That a man shouldn't think of himself as being too much because he learned Torah because that's what he was created for.
What means? What
that
means?
That should answer it all up. That that's what man was created for. That's human nature.
But we say it's not good to be human nature. We show what human nature is.
That's what he was saying.
It's not good. See, his argument is not good. If you tell me that human nature is good, then he's in trouble. He has to admit, according to his definition of human nature, it's good not to be human nature.
Right.
Just say one second. Now, let me ask you this. You said perception itself, in other words, perceiving this ultimate good is really not a part of human nature, right?
Right.
Because there is something which fights against it in human nature, right?
Something like that. You fill up Whitman Auditorium.
Right.
Yeah, 3,000 average people.
Yeah,
right,
and you show them proof of time to see everything
for 2 weeks straight.
Show them
our. Maybe you had a whole room. Maybe you get 10 people who will.
But simultaneously, it's human nature to desire to have the best life. You agree with that too, right? That's the desire, and these two things are separate, right?
Right.
Okay. So therefore, the one who sees the truth, really, in one respect, he really partakes of human nature to a great degree.
In one respect.
Thing,
but
in
he definitely
thing.
Defies human nature.
In
the
other.
That he sees.
In the other.
Right.
Right.
What's that mean?
In the other, he defies human nature, right? But in one respect, he's a part of human nature.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
One second. Now, what about the other guy? The guy who doesn't see the truth, right?
He follows human nature again.
Well,
he tries to the back.
Now let me ask you a question. So according to you, in other words, there's one guy's 100% and the other guy's 50%. But the guy that's on the higher level is only in one aspect he doesn't have human nature, right?
Right, but
in having the
block.
But in having the desire, he definitely doesn't have human nature, right?
Right.
Yeah. Qualitative elements that people have. You see? The person would have an element. Human nature is the qualitative elements that the person has. If you show a person has a totally new drive, then I say that's not human nature. But how these drives set themselves up and how they work themselves out, that's not human nature. It's a particular thing that works out. You're right. But I say human nature is not defined by the strength of the thing. Like everybody has a desire to deny certain truths. That even the Chacham has that too. Everybody has that. That's human nature. But the question is to what degree it exists in. In other words, I don't define human nature as a quantitative factor. I define it as a qualitative factor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In other words, I say human nature, I don't differentiate between a guy that has this much repulsion to truth or a guy that has less repulsion to truth.
Right, I don't either.
Oh, no, you do, because you say you go by the norm, right?
What everyone does.
No, but you said that the average person is a conflict. On the one hand, he desires the ultimate good. On the other hand, he has something professor has seen it, right? Right? Okay, I agree with that, but I say that you don't draw the line by the quantitative element. In other words, because you're saying because
there are human drives.
No, I don't mean that. Anyway, the guy, you said a guy has a desire for the ultimate good, right? But there's another desire not to recognize a certain truth, right?
Right?
So therefore he can't recognize the life of learning because the desire against it.
Right.
Fine. But isn't it true that if this desire is weaker and the other desire is stronger, that then he will overcome the desire not to see it? You understand what I mean? In other words, let's say the desire not to see it is weaker in one person than it is in another. It's not possible? You mean it's always the exact same way? Isn't it possible that one guy has a desire that's a little weaker against the truth and another guy has a stronger desire against the truth? Now, the one that's weaker could overcome it, but the guy that has a desire that's stronger can't overcome it, right? So therefore, do you differentiate between those two guys and say one guy is more human nature than the other?
No, they both have human nature.
They both have human nature. According to you, the guy that sees it is also human nature.
No.
Why?
Because he is
less degree.
Right.
But doesn't that stem from another aspect of his nature, which is the desire to really live the best life? Right? Let's say a guy's fighting. He says, the thing that we deny is the view that the soul will never return to the body. Ki akosh zu, because this denial mevia l'akosh as kol anisim. He says, because this denial brings to the denial of every nes that has ever occurred. The moment you deny the ability of the guf to be returned to the neshama, so then immediately you deny the ability of all nes. A person who denies the possibility of tzias ha-nesim denies the possibility of a nes. He denies the possibility of an ace.
Unless we can logically prove it,
then
not
the same. Right, unless you show me it's impossible.
Right.
Okay. Va'koshes and anyone that denies a miracle
denies God.
The Yitzio Men Ados. U'lefikach anu moinim tchias ha-nesim yisodas ha-Torah. That's why we have tchias ha-nesim.
The possibility is the
thing is like this. What does it mean? It means like this. That the yisodas ha-Torah are things that not... In other words, the reason why you have to accept Chesed Meisim, if you deny it, it means there are 13 things that if a person denies them, so then he denies the whole Torah. Why? Because if he denies Chesed Meisim, there's one or two possibilities. Either he denies Chesed Meisim because he doesn't accept Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He doesn't accept the Nevuah. He doesn't accept the Torah. That's one possibility. He doesn't accept the fact that the Torah says that it's Torah, right?
It's a Nevi'im.
So he doesn't. One is he does not accept the Torah. That's one. If he doesn't, he's kofa the Torah. So then naturally it's not because that's something else.
One second.
But that's not why. Then it's the other Yigimel Midas. It's not this one. It's the other Yigimel Ikrim. The one that you deny the was Moshe. But if a person accepts the Torah, right? In other words, he accepts Torah Mishina. But he says, I can't accept Chesed Meisim. There must be a mistake in regard to Chesed Meisim. Why? Because he says it's impossible for God to do that, right? So therefore he must deny miracles, right? So if he denies miracles, so then he's a kefir baker.
Why can't he accept miracles and not this particular?
What rational differentiation could there be?
What?
What rational differentiation could there be?
The possibility.
Yeah, what basis? There's no basis. Do you accept the Torah? And the Torah says that it will occur? So then why do you deny it? You must deny it because you think it's impossible. So the only reason a guy could deny, you see, it's not the belief in Tchias HaMeisim that's the ikker. The 13 ikrim that the Rambam counts are not ikrim positively that this is an ikr bedas. The Rambam says the ikr bedas, that's why I said before it starts your gimel ikrim. He says the ikr bedas is a concept of what Olam Haba is. That's the ikr bedas. You understand? That's an ikr which is necessary in order to live the correct life. That's not what Chesed Meisim. Chesed Meisim is one of the ikrim because if you deny it, then you are denying the fundamental basis of the Torah.
Sure.
Namely, Nisim. You understand what I mean? It's not the belief in Tchias HaMeisim which is the Iker. It's the denial of Tchias HaMeisim which removes you from the Iker. It's a negative thing. You understand what I mean? The reason why the Rambam counts the Iker, there's two reasons why. One is because a positive Iker, which means the belief in God. That means anyone who doesn't accept that there is a God, it's kept in Torah. Right? Tchias HaMeisim, it's not the acceptance of Tchias HaMeisim which is the Iker. It's the denial of Tchias HaMeisim which removes him from Klal Yisrael. So the 13 Ikrim are formulated two ways, positively and negatively. Some are an Iker inherently. If you don't accept this, that's an Iker. Okay, Tchias HaMeisim inherently per se is not an Iker at all. But the denial of Tchias HaMeisim is the denial of an Iker.
Why can't they use all subdivisions?
You hear the kasha? The kasha is that the Rambam says that anything that happens between God and Navi, you don't never know whether it happened or not. The only thing is they left the shmoy, plus listen to what he says. Sivu. Right?
Oh.
So, that's halacha. But you don't really know. Maybe he's a liar. You don't know. The only one you know is Moshe, because in a row. That's the only one we know. Beyond after Moshe, you don't know anybody. Okay. Now, so the Rambam says he's leaving Chesed Meisim, because Daniel says so, right?
How do we know that?
No, we don't know. How do we know it's true? In other words,
we can't say for sure
it's
not Chesed.
So he wants to say like this. He wants to say this, that it's not the belief in Chesed Meisim, it's the denial. In other words, according to if a person says that it's
maybe
possible,
maybe it is not.
Then he's also a minor. In other words,
he says that it's possible. But I don't think it will happen.
But I don't know if it'll happen. I don't think it's true. Depends on whether the Nevuah was true or not. Depends on the voice.
I know.
The guy that denies it is the kaifer. The kaifer betchias a mason. But let's say, for instance, you say, I don't know, it depends on whether the meal's nibble was right.
You're not kosher.
Then you're not kosher. That's not called kosher kishur meisim.
According to what he says,
you never be kosher for Torah. It's only that if you deny it,
because
it's absolutely
not. I agree that Daniel. No, you're not. And I agree that the chance exists.
Right.
But
I said something else. I said that that really it's true the Rambam quotes the pasuk from Daniel, but that's not the only source that the Rambam has. The Rambam says that it. Yeah, the Rambam quotes the pasuk, but he says that it is known in the Ummah. He says everyone, nobody denies Chesam Esim, which means that it's part of the Masera. It's part of the Masera. Because then you have to deny the Masera. That's why I say to Rambam, I say what he says is true. He says is a good answer. But I say that it's more than that. That really, the Tchias HaMesim is not based on a Pasuk in Daniel. Tchias HaMesim is based on the whole Masera. And the Rambam says, no one of any Chachmei Yisrael ever denied the Tchias HaMesim. It's based on the whole Masera. Then you have to deny the whole Masera. Once you deny the whole Masera, then you correct the Torah. Part of the Masera, then it's part of the Torah Shabbat Pat. It's part of the Torah Shabbat Pat. Then you have to deny the Masera. Once you deny the Masera, then you automatically catch the Torah. That's just the Torah we have. Everything's crazy. You have no Bali on Masera. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Ikrim, how the Rambam formulated the original Ikrim? Not necessarily positively, but because the denial of certain things will result in the fundamental thing. Okay. So the name of the Rambam is Kulal Mashemar al Akashis Chazar Sanefesh al-Gur. El Mashemar al Hotchai. But we say it's just the opposite. That we agree that Tchias HaMesim is true. Umisha Ratzo Bachal Oitzalem is Dibo, or Yachas Lam Asfar Shein Adaitenu. He says, anybody that wants to say that we said something that we didn't say, Kemosha Cheshtim Asakshirim Bavaris, just like somebody who's Kashi, you say it did Avaris, the Yavar, the Varenu, Biu Rachait. And I'll try to explain our words in a very far fetched way, Kadeshi Achuya Sama Taktava, in order to say that we are really Apikorsim, or whatever it is, Haru Asad Witness of Din. Vieshlo Din Kom Mishu Cheshtim Asakshirim. Okay. So why did the Rambam wrote this for political reasons? Because obviously, when the Rambam wrote this, there were people that tried to impute to the Rambam certain positions in order to nullify him as a
philosopher.
Now, there's no place for a person to make a mistake after this explanation, and to say that we think that all Tchias HaMesim in the Torah is a mashal, but Mehem Mashal Bali Safek, certain times, certain things that are mentioned in Torah are a Safek. Umehem Kipshuto, and certain things are literal. Kipshuto is counter, just like we explained. Umehem Shiesh Listapek Bo Imu Mashal Kipshuto. There's three classes of things in the Torah. Certain things in the Torah are Pshuto Mashmo, actual. Certain things are Mashalom, and certain things we don't know, whether they are Mashalom or they're Pshuto Mashmo. Alright, now. And when you think about
it. We don't know.
It means that the. It's not
nobody could know.
It means it's not. At this point, it's not known. We don't know. I would say if you are misupik in it, then you are not misupik in Ikra, in an Ikra B'das. In other words, there's certain things that are definitely Pshutuk Mashmo. Why? Because they're Ikra B'das. That's one. There are other things which are definitely not Pshutuk Mashmo. And then there are certain things which a person could be misupik in. It's not in the realm of part of Ikra B'das. Okay. Now, when you think about everything that the Chachamim and the Mefarshim, the Sfaradim mention. Therefore, when you think into the words of what the Sfaradim says, it means the philosophers. By the Sfaradim means those who know philosophy. And when you understand what they say, then you'll understand which things are which. Which things are actual, which things are metaphorical, and which things are possibilities. Okay. This is what the Sephardic philosophers explain.
Okay. In other words, he's accepting
that. Right. That's what we when he says about these three categories, he says like this. He means the three categories are true insofar as Tchias HaMesim as well, not just all in Torah, but speaking as far as Tchias HaMesim. Sometimes Tchias HaMesim is a mashal in the Torah, sometimes it's not a mashal, sometimes it can't be a mashal, and sometimes it is a mashal, and sometimes it could be a mashal. Like by Mesa Yecheskel. By a cheskel, it's machloekis, whether it is mashal or not. There's room to misstop it. Yeah. Certain parts of Tchias HaMesim, there's no suffix at all when the Torah mentions it. And other parts are definitely metaphorical. Nice to look at. Sometimes when you find in Tchias HaMesim, you find a chazal in Tchias HaMesim. Sometimes it's metaphorical. You understand? Sometimes you find a chazal in Tchias HaMesim, it's pshutuk mashmo. And sometimes you don't know what they meant. Is it, or in the Nevi'im? Is it a metaphor or is it pshutuk mashmo? So whenever you find the word chesed mesim, it depends, you have to know where and what it's talking about. Sometimes it's actual, sometimes it's metaphorical, and sometimes it's you don't know. Okay, so, that's the thing is. And he says, but we are not interested over here at this point, it's not our purpose to explain, to itemize each case where you have chesed mesim. Go straight through Shas and through the Nevi'im and tell you which ones are which. He says, because a thing does not become more truthful by repeating it many times, nor does it become less truthful if you don't repeat it many times. So as long as there's one time in the Torah where it says Chesed Mesim, you know that it's definite, that's Pshitah Mashmalos, and that's enough, they know it's true. He says, for instance, the fact that God is one, Hashem Achad, right? It's not mentioned more than one time in the Torah. That's it. Shema Yisrael Kehan Hashem, Hashem Kehan Hashem Achad. That doesn't mean it's less important. Okay. It's only mentioned once in Tarash. Achdus Hashem is only mentioned once, and yet it's the most important Yisrael, right? Oh. So it doesn't matter how many times Chesed Mesim is mentioned, which metaphorical, which, as long as you have one time that you know it's true, that's enough. Okay. Therefore, when you find the Navi mentioned Chesed Mesim, right? You find the Navi mentioned the body going back to the soul, right? Soul going back to the body. So he says, He says, so therefore, there's no need to think that by making every one of the times that the Navi mentions Chesed Mesim, by making it literal, that you're making the fact of Chesed Mesim any more true. Okay? And it doesn't matter if many times when it's mentioned, it's not really Pshitik Mashmal. Klamo Shel Davar, the following is, the Hodor HaNevuis was mentioned once. Or many times, and Chachmei Yisrael, and he's here. Yes, Cecilia. The Skir Chachmei Yisrael. This is your question. The Skir Chachmei Yisrael are Rishenim Vachreinim Poamim Mashallah Yisupa Minyanam. So he says, "Listen to what he says." Yeah, I think this is what he has now. What I told you before. That is not just based on the pasuk of Daniel. It's like this. He says, "Kolo Shel Davar Harei Nemra Ha'Hidor Anivu Is Pamachas." The Nivu was mentioned one time. Or many times, we don't know. This kira chachme Yisrael or Rishenim Vachreinim Pa'amim Mashallah Yisupim Minyanam. No chachme Yisrael mentioned it many times. Then it's farsim bu'umaseinu, and it's public knowledge among the nation. This kima akach, and everybody agreed with it. Nobody denied it. Shenefesh adam tachzal aruch. The soul shall return to the body. V'zehu la'inyin ha'machuv mitchias meitzim b'chol makam shkira chachme l'chaber. So therefore, we know that it is true because it's part of the Masara. It's part of the Masara. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. Okay.
Realm of human nature.
Body dies on disintegrates and nothing is lost. So therefore, it's always possible for the
return cycle,
yeah. Possible, highly improbable, but it's possible. All the physicists might deny. Highly improbable one to do it.
Oh, but
it's possible. It's possible. It's theoretically possible. Because it's all dispersed in the atmosphere. It's possible to be reorganized.
Elements and rearrange it.
It's rearranged.
It doesn't have to be the same night.
Other people made another error in what we said. At the end of a chibur, when we said like this, we said you shouldn't think that the Melech Mashiach is going to make Isis and Moifsim, and is going to machadish new things in the world, or be Machayim Mason. And we brought a proof to that, like we explained over there, that the Melech Mashiach does not do anything miraculous. This is Ram's right. The Ram's right was from Bar Kokhba. Because Rabbi Akiva and Chachmei Dera thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach, and Bar Kokhba never did anything miraculous to prove there was Mashiach. So you see that Mashiach, according to Chazal, has nothing to do with doing miraculous actions. Okay, naturally. Echad Chalushe Bala Yo'ayin, and one of the weak-minded investigators thought that this is a kosher, this is a contradiction to Tchias HaMeisim. And that it contradicts what we explained in the Pirush Mishnayos, that Tchias HaMeisim is one of the Ikrim, one of the fundamental principles of Yadus. And all this is very simple. There's no contradiction here. You had a contradiction here? Shana Amanu Shemashiach Ein Lidush Menashe Yasim Meifes Don She Yikra Hayom O Yechayim Meisim Al Derech Hameifes Mefishen Etzorach Lasis Meifes. What does it say? So this is what we say like this. We say that the Melech HaMashiach does not require, we don't demand any miracle from him. Why? Why? Because he doesn't have to do any miracle. Because the Nevi'im already forecast his appearance. And the Nevi'ah was already proven true. What does it mean? What's the other word? Yeah, the Nevi'im, if he means miracles to prove he's Mashiach, Nevi'im Rishon didn't say who, what did he say, what type of nose he has. I don't know who it is. There are certain halachas that pertain to the Melech HaMashiach. Melech HaMashiach is a halachic entity. It's an entity, Melech HaMashiach. He has an identity according to halacha. He's defined and he's known as the Melech HaMashiach. How is he known as the Melech HaMashiach? The Rambam says it right. Rambam says like this. Rambam is in the Perek Yud Aleph from Hilchos Melech. Zim Yamayid Melech Mi Beis David. Hayigeh B'terev Ha'isek B'mitzvus. K'David Aviv. And if there should arise a king from Beis David who learns Torah and Isaac b'mitzvah keeps the mitzvah like his forefather David, to feed Torah shebiksav v'shebal peh, v'yachuf kol Yisrael leilach bo l'chazek b'dasa, and he coerces, well, means persuades the Jews to follow the das of
all Jews,
most of the Jews to follow the das of the Torah. V'ilachem milchama is Hashem, and he fights the battles against the enemies of the Jews. Hareza b'cheskas shum Mashiach. Then he has a chazaka that is Mashiach. Imasav etzliach, if he did so and he was matzliach, he was successful. Ubona migdash b'mkaymai, and he built the Beis HaMikdash. V'kibes nidchei Yisrael, he gathered the nidchei Yisrael. Hareza Mashiach b'vadai. Then we know for sure that he is Mashiach. Okay. So what does it mean? There's a Cheskas Mashiach and then there's a Vada Mashiach. Right? So what does it mean? It means that Mashiach is a halachic entity. There's a halachic entity of Melech HaMashiach. Yeah, it's certain halachas to Melech HaMashiach. For instance, the Melech HaMashiach will be Miyaches, all this will tell the Yichas of every Jew. There are certain halachas that the Melech HaMashiach will do. That through Ruach HaKodesh will be miyaches the Jews according to their shvatim. Not anybody can do this. The only one who can do it is Melech HaMashiach. You understand? So you see, Melech HaMashiach is an entity. Not just he's anybody. He's defined, he has halachic validity as a Melech HaMashiach. Just like a Kohen Gadol is an entity. Kohen Gadol is an entity, and Melech is an entity, and Melech HaMashiach is a separate halachic entity. What the Rambam means here is very simple. The Rambam means like this. If the Nevi'im Rishonim would never have predicted, never have forecast that there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, then if somebody would come and say he's Mashiach, so what would he have to do? He has to bring an ice in my face to prove that he's a Navi first, and then say, the Dvar Hashem was to me that there will be a Melech HaMashiach, and I am the Melech HaMashiach. You see? Right, exactly. To say there's such a thing. Because the only way he could say there's such a thing would be through Nevuah. Through Nevuah. He'd say, now I have the Dvar Hashem. Dvar Hashem says you're supposed to listen to me now. I'm the Melech HaMashiach. I'm supposed to do such and such. But since this was already predicted beforehand, so the entity of Melech HaMashiach was established before with Nevi'im. You see? It's not necessary to establish a Melech HaMashiach. The only question is who he is. So who he is already defined through Nevi'im, what he has to do and what he's supposed to do in order to be defined as Melech HaMashiach. You understand? There's no need for a Mephes. You see, if, in other words, like this, if there was no such thing as Melech HaMashiach beforehand, so then you'd have to have a Navi come and tell you, the Dvar Hashem just came to me now and said there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach and I am the one. But it's not so, you don't need it anymore. Why would you need it? Because the Nevi'im already defined Melech HaMashiach. They defined him completely. They said what a Melech HaMashiach is, and they said who is Becheskas Melech HaMashiach, and who is Vada Melech HaMashiach. So what does he have to do? All he has to do is fulfill the requirements. It was already established through previous Nevuah. However, if it wasn't established, if there never was a previous Nevuah, so then what would he have to do? If the previous Nevuah was lacking in any way, for instance, if the previous Nevuah didn't say there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, right? Or the previous Nevuah didn't say how we know there's a Melech HaMashiach, who is the Melech HaMashiach? Then you'd have to have a new Nevuah, a new Mephes to prove it. But there's no necessity to prove the Melech HaMashiach. Why? Because the previous Nevuah already completed itself. It says that such a thing as Melech HaMashiach and tells you how you know he is a Mashiach. It's only necessary to prove a new Dvar Hashem. To prove a new Dvar Hashem, you need a Mayfes. Right?
It always works?
What? Mayfes? The Tzom says, if a Mayfes, if a Navi person comes along and claims to be a Navi and he gives a Mayfes, so then you have to listen to him. Eilof Tishma. No. Because no, the Pasuk is going to be, because Mayfes is not 100%. Mayfes is not 100%. That's what the Ram says. Mayfes could be a fraud. Could be a fraud, it's possible it's a mistake. Possible it's a fraud. But the halach is you must listen to him. Just like Aden could also be lying. To be very ingenious, Aden could be lying, but you have to listen to the Aden. You understand? So you have to listen to the Navi because the Mayfes, because of the Mayfes. However, if he tells you to go against the Torah, then he knows you're wrong. Then he knows you're wrong. You don't have to wait to disprove it. You know right away it's wrong. It's just like Aden come along and they say to Bezdin that Reuven over here just killed somebody outside in the street, and Bezdin saw him sitting over here. Do they have to wait for Akasha for the Aden? They know they ate him alive. That's the gun. That's getting interrogated. Over here too. If the Navi says something against the Torah, there's no need to wait anymore for the to prove that he's false. You know right away it's false. That's what the Pasuk says. The Pasuk says that if the Navi comes and gives him my face, and the my face comes true, and he tells you to go against the Torah, so it says you shouldn't listen to this Navi, we should kill him. What's the Navi Shaka? What does it mean? What's the Pshat in the Pasuk? Pshat is very simple. My face isn't 100%. It's just the basis. So the halacha is supposed to listen to it.
Why do you follow it?
That's the halacha. What?
Why do you follow it ever?
I follow ever? Because just like you follow Adam, Hazaka. Just like you follow Adam. Do you really know when Adam said that somebody is a murderer? Do you really know he's a murderer? Be very smart, Adam. Put together, worked on it for years, had to frame a guy. Gemara's case is where people were framed. So it's possible. It's possible. But the halacha is you have to be chaytech din according to Adam. Same thing over here. Navi also, you never know 100%. But the only thing is that it's Eilof Tishma as a basis. You have to follow him. But let's say you know he's a liar, so then of course you don't follow him. Once he says to go against the Torah, you know he's a liar. It's impossible he should be telling the truth. I'm just saying one thing. The Rambam is saying like this. That there's two things in Melech HaMashiach. That there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach. The halachas that pertain to him. And then who he is. So if there was no previous Nevuah that covered these facts, so you'd have to have a new Mayfes because it would be a new Nevuah telling you a new Dvar Hashem. But the Rambam says all this was completed in the past because the Navi already said there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, and he already told you what the We already said there's such a thing as Melech HaMashiach, and he already told you what the Cheskes Melech HaMashiach is and Vade Mashiach is, right? You understand what I mean? Bar Kokhba was the Cheskes Mashiach. Cheskes Mashiach. That's what it means in the Gemara. They thought he was Mashiach because he had all the signs of Cheskes Mashiach. But he wasn't Vade Mashiach because they saw he didn't accomplish, he wasn't successful. You understand? So we know already what a Melech HaMashiach is. There's no need for any new Mayfes. What do you need new Mayfes for? You understand what I mean? That's what the Ram says.
So that's why it can't be involved in faith.
V'ulamrei, the Pasuk says about the Gorza Avim Keves in Yeshayo, the Pasuk says, Lo Yoreyu v'lo Yashchisu b'chol har kachim. They will not do any evil, any harm, and not do any destruction in all my holy mountain. Kimolohoret, these animals. Kimolohoret Deyos Hashem. Why, he says, why will they not do any damage, these animals? Because the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. So the Ram says, Hinei Nasan Hatam. He says it gives the reason why won't they do any harm, because l'fi shehem yadas Hashem, right? So it says gar zevim keres v'namim gedi yirbats v'aye kabaka yechol tevim le'yarev le'yashvisu b'chol ha'kashi ki malach olar zdeyas Hashem kamayim le'yamachasim. Oh, so it says habitu no makhelos b'nei adam. Take a look. He's referring to the reader. Makhelos b'nei adam, people. Hayesh le sechel sheboy yeho aryeh mitzuva ubizmanenu ze mamre. Ulafikach utaref. Does the lion have a sense, have knowledge, that in those days, in the future, he will receive a commandment not to eat animals, but now he's being rebellious, and therefore he eats animal, and therefore he eats other living beings? Va'oz yashiv v'yedas bara, and then the lion is going to have knowledge of God, knowledge of his creator, kefi sheroi, like he's supposed to. V'sha'asul elava, and he's not allowed to violate the law, and therefore he's going to eat straw. Does that make sense? Absurd. Absurd. What? Yeah, saying that the lion has intelligence, and really the lion is doing evil now, but later he'll become an enlightened lion, and he'll realize that he's not supposed to eat, he's not supposed to be animals, and therefore he'll go and eat straw. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anybody thinks that is something lacking any sense? Doesn't make any sense. Hey, what? Because now there's going to be new seichel, a new anti-seichel. This kimalach alar zayasad Hashem. What does it mean? Kimalach alar zayasad Hashem means that people, that the those individuals who have seichel will be filled with knowledge. Doesn't mean it's going to be a new seichel. Doesn't mean a new seichel. Means they'll have knowledge. Now they don't have knowledge, and then they will have knowledge. Doesn't mean they're going to have different minds. It's a kimalach alar seichel. Kimalach alar zayasad Hashem. They'll have knowledge. Nothing new.
The leopard would be included in those.
Crazy, because his
they
don't have them. Of course, and the fact that they do it now is not because of a lack of sechel.
That's the teva.
It's the teva. It's a lack of sechel. Well, there's something nonsensical about what he does. It's crazy. Why? It means that if the lion had knowledge, you wouldn't need another animal. There's nothing to do with it. There's no knowledge. In this kind of mashenemar, tehi lachem chazay sakol kedivrei sefer achosim. So unfortunately, the nevuah of Yeshayahu came true. Which is that everything, that one of the clauses is that everything will be, this pasuk you say about today's dar, utehi lochem chazei sakol, everything that you see will be kedivrei hasefer achosim, will be like a closed book. Be a time in Yahadus that everything, the simplest, the clearest ideas that Yahadus has expounded will be like a closed book and people will not be able to see it.
Today's dar?
Today's dar, are you kidding? You must mishir him emuma mishim yisay the breshes, because the Ram says, explain the way from Maimar Chazal, there's no difference. And you should know, ki avtachos halolo v'damein shenu orim shein mashal, and those things that we say, all these things that we say that they're only a mashal. Now listen carefully, he says, ein varein zehechleti. We haven't really, it's not really conclusive what we're saying that it's only a mashal. And it sounds like he's retracting. Now listen carefully. Because we never had any nevuah, loy diyanu to teach us. Shehi mashal, to tell us it's a mashal. Loy matzana meseres b'chacham mipin avim b'firish b'prati inyanan eila shehi mashal. We never found any meseres from the nevuim straight down to us to tell us that all these things are mashal. Aval hevia son of dekach inyan shavarola. But what caused us to say that it's a mashal? He says aval hevia son of dekach. What brought us to think that it's a mashal? Inyan shavarola. Some Indian, which I will now explain to you. The who, and this is what it is.
What's he explaining now?
I was going to explain. That's right. It says, really, it doesn't say the Garza Avon Kevis is a muscle. Doesn't say it.
But
nobody ever
said it. I thought he took that at the end of the
prophecy. Wasn't he? The who, and this is what it is. Sheshiifasenu, our desire, Ushiifas Kolanshe Achachma, and the desire of all those people who have knowledge, Miyachide Sgula, from those few people. Those few people who are saved, hetach sheifas hamon, it's the exact opposite of the desire of the masses. Why? Ki hamone bali hataros, because most people who are considered themselves bali hataros, yosechov valeim va'orav l'sechlusam, it's much more dear to them and much more sweet, according to their stupidity, lasos v'torah v'asechol shnei ksavos asosim zezeh, to make the Torah and the sechol two opposites that conflict with one another. See? The fools. So the fools always try to make the Torah something which is opposite of the Sechel. They try to make it something opposite of the Sechel. Tremendous mess. Umavaram called over Neged HaMuskel. And they explain everything against rationality. The torn in Boshunais. And they say on the contrary that it's a mess. They say, what's the greatness? The greatness is immanent, right? The Rebbe was able to fly Esenecha. That's right, able to fly Esenecha, Esther Shalshulis before Mars, and went to Shemayim and came back. That is the greatness, right? Ah. Umisracha kimikach, shehe dover al derech hateva. And therefore they push away, push aside that there should be anything from the derech hateva. Anything should be under, according to the laws of nature. Bein b'mashe seper mimash shekfar ava, whether you're talking about something in the past. Ubein b'mashe roin b'matzav ha-nechachi, or what they see in the present. Ubein b'mashe nemar shu yer b'asura, something that's going to occur in the future. To them, what is greatness? Greatness is something which is miraculous, which is against the seichel. That is the great thing. So you want to prove how holy a person is, show me something that he does which is exactly contradictory to reason. Then you'll know that he's a great person. What's the proof of Yadus? How unbelievable certain things are. But we say just the opposite. That Torah and knowledge is echad, is one. And we explain everything according to the natural law, according to the natural order. Epshari, the chol eila, in all these things. Zulasi, mashenema by the firish, shunes, the ancient epsharis levara klal, except for certain things which you know that it's an es. Then we say it's an es. Rak oz ne oleit lemash is an es. Only then do we say that it's an es. When it's impossible to interpret in any other way, in any rational way, then we say it's an es. But if it's possible at all to interpret it in terms of natural phenomena, so we always say that it's natural phenomena. Okay? Alright, let's just go further. Ukfar bi'ana b'mora l'shanas ha-mikra b'rum v'gam l'shanas ha-chom z'ashe divrei nevi'im nemru b'hem m'shalom rabim. And we explained it in the nevi'im, there are many m'shalom. We explained it where this in Marna v'chom. V'rbinu l'vayaz adava b'ir sh'yef sh'laf echad min ha-sichlim ha-vakoni in la-kishay. And we explained this so clearly that it's impossible for even one of the argumentative fools to dispute it. When we shum kachon omrim, and therefore we say, v'gam mi shekadamnu migdolei mefarshim, and therefore we say, and also the gdolei mefarshim that came before us, the Rambam says, we say she'ela mishalom, that all these things are mishalom. Okay? Ve'ef she'od lomar, and you could say further, ki kashe yir ba ha'yishu v'tidashein ha'oretz timat ros balechayim, the itstavsu zebozeh. Ukfar hiskir zeharistu b'maymar balechayim. I'm not familiar with that text of Aristotle, but it says there's an Aristotelian text that says that the ba'atimo miyot niske balechayim zelozeh b'eretz mitzrayim. He said, he claims that as civilization increases, that the fierceness of the animals decrease. That's what he says. He says, Ram says he doesn't know. Maybe it does have an effect that way. Maybe when the wilderness is larger, that the animals are more ferocious. Maybe as man encroaches on the animal territories, that they become more timid. They become more timid. It's possible. What? No, they become more timid because they lose their land. You know, they haven't got the since there's an encroachment on their territory, so they lose their viciousness. Yeah. So it's possible. He says, he doesn't know. So maybe it is possible. Maybe it's not. Okay. What? V'yitochein od ki ze guzma kimo she'omru dibra tera lashon avoy. He says, and it's possible that it's an exaggeration. Possible, of course, the other way, it's just an exaggeration. Tera spoke in exaggerated terms. And the animals really refers to people. V'imu kipshuto, but if the pasuk means really literally, harei yaneis, then it'll be yaneis, she'yiroa b'har abayis dafto. Then it'll be yaneis only in har abayis. Just like Chazal say, it never was a case where a nachash or an akra stung anybody and bit anybody in Yerushalayim. So that's an ace. Alright, so then, contradiction?
Yeah.
Question is, first of all, the proof starts from the Nevi'im, from the Pasuk, Yimalachar Zdeyat HaVishem. Right? Which proves that what? That it's not literal.
Right?
Now he's backtracking. Now he says no. He says that it really could be an S, and the S will only occur in higher bias. And in Ramashach, he just proves us that it can't be. Yeah. Good. He just said before the O should interpret it not according to Ness. Now there's two interpretations, so why should interpret it according to Ness? Mm-hmm. Right? Okay? Two questions. What he says. Question, let me ask you a question on that too. The Ram is rational, right? Now since he could explain it as a nace, and he could explain it as a muscle. So what kind of rationality is it? The Ram says we always try to explain it as a natural. I mean, we always try. I mean, we don't know. Why should we try? Why should we try one way and the other way? It's possible. It should be an ace, right? He says, unless we're forced. He says, we say it's it's a natural event. A natural occurrence. What kind of a shot is that?
Why should I say God performs a miracle?
That I agree with. If I don't know whether something's a miracle, then I don't interpret it as a miracle.
Right.
But if I have a pasuk, and I don't know whether the pasuk means a miracle or not, so what's the rationale to say it's a mushel?
Well, could you give me a rationale?
Why should I say it's a mushel? It could be a miracle, right?
Well,
then, and it could be a mushel, right?
You say it happened or not, though.
What?
Well, what's the difference with
He says that first he says that you always interpret it as a natural event, and now he says himself he can say it's an ace. Okay, let's go further. Klal shel davar shekol advarim halalu einam yisodas haTorah. The klal is that all these things are not part of yisodas haTorah. Ein lahakted ben eichshi yisbrosam. Doesn't make a difference how you explain it. Okay, now it says doesn't make a difference how you explain it. The Torah was kavos lahanim both in klali. You have to hope and believe in a general way. The Dvaramaila, Arashe is Galabamera, until they will be revealed quickly, soon. Vaz is Barame Mashal Ness, and then we'll know whether it's a Mashal or whether it's a Ness. So it means he doesn't know.
If there's some shift, then we'll know.
Because then we'll know, now we don't know.
Another contradiction.
Now we don't know. Another contradiction. Before it says
we
know.
Before
we always know. That's right, right, right. Ukvayadua, and it is known, Shiano Mitzrachik and Tachos Arichos, that we keep away completely, extremely, Mishinui Sidre Bracious. From any change in the order of Bereshit. Aval toa kol misha toa mimisha kodam ayyya basid. But the mistake of those of the past, of those of the future, they don't make any difference. Vein azvarim shem al derech anes, those things that are through an ace. Vein an misharim klal, and they don't remain. Velo miskaimim, and they don't have any existence, any permanent existence. Eliyyu beglal torah, they'll be for a specific purpose. Ola ames nevuah, in order to demonstrate that a nevuah is true. Ubein azvarim ativim, they don't differentiate between natural, the natural things, natural physical phenomena, it's medium, which are steady. Shehim in Hago Shalom, which is the general way that the world goes. Asher Beferu Shalom Zal, Chazal say always, Tamid, Shalom Zal Tamid, Olam Kim in Hago Holes. The world goes in its usual way. Vamru, Ein Mevirin Raya, Maisa Nisim. You don't bring any Raya from Maisa Nisim. Maisa Nisim are exceptional, which means that Ein San Chal Nes, which means that you have to follow natural order always. Whatever God does is permanent. So it means that it doesn't change anything. So you see that the natural order is always impermanent, always permanent. When we spoke about the question of the Kadmus Olam, whether the world was created or whether the world is eternal. Okay? Right, that's the end of the paragraph. Okay. First question we asked was, first kasha was about the mushel of Gorzev and Kevitz, right? So the question was, the Ram says it's all a mushel. Then later he says, no, it's real. What's the pshat in the Rambam? What's the pshat in the Rambam? What does Ram mean? The Rambam's referring to two things over here. One thing is, what the nimshal is. Is there a nimshal? Is there a nimshal? Which means like this. When it says the Gorzev and Kevitz, does that mean literally that that's going to be the change in the world? That the animals are going to change? That the Rambam says is stupid. Because it says, Le'arev le'ashchisu b'cholar kachiki malachalar zdeyas adashyam. Right? So definitely it doesn't mean that the phenomena, that the only phenomena, the only change is going to be a change in the animal life. That's absurd. Complete absurdity. So you must say that it's a mashal for what? For mankind. Okay? That you must say. It's impossible not to say otherwise. It's possible to say otherwise. Now, however, there still is another possibility. There still is another possibility. When the Torah says the Gorz, the Ev, and Kevis, it's still possible that there is a literal meaning to it as well. Which means that there, in order to demonstrate, in order to, as an act, in other words, the essential change is going to be the fact that people will live peacefully. But there will also be a demonstrable change in certain animals in a certain place. You understand? In order to demonstrate to people that this is a different time and that the times have changed.
Is it
classified
to change people?
1 second. No. In other words, let me give you an example. For instance, the Rambam says, what is Shechina? So Shechina means, he says, the Shechina means the Hashgacha Pratis. It means nothing more Hashgacha Pratis. However, he says, if somebody interprets the Shechina as a specific light which was created for the event, which was created by God, it's also okay. He doesn't know. He says, maybe it is. But the main idea is that the Hashgacha is in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the main idea of Shechina. The main idea of Shechina is that the Hashgacha is in the Beis HaMikdash. But you could say also that God, to demonstrate this, created a special light. Nothing wrong with that. You understand? Okay. Same thing over here. Those, the first pshat is that they say there's no nimshal. They say the whole thing is a change in the animal life. It's absurd. It says, Ki Malach Halas Deyas Ad Hashem. You understand? That's definitely in reference not to a change in the animal life, but in reference to a change in mankind. However, this still doesn't completely take care of the picture. Why? Because you could agree with the Rambam. You could say, yes, true. Of course there will be a change in mankind. However, there will also be a change, a demonstrable change in animal life around Har HaBayis in order to demonstrate to people that a time has come, a new era has elapsed. You see? So then the Garza Avon Kevis could be literal. But not literal the way they say literal. They say literal meaning that this is the whole change. That's absurd, because Kimalach Allah is there for the Shema. Doesn't make any sense. But it's possible still to maintain both. To maintain that there's a Nimshal, which means that it refers to mankind. However, on a certain spot in the globe, there will be a change in specific animals in order to demonstrate to man that a new era has arrived. That, the Rambam says, is possible.
That could be explained by Aristotle.
That could be explained either by Aristotle or else it's a nest. It's a nest which will occur on our bias alone. You understand what I mean? Doesn't mean that the whole animal life is going to change. It's just a nest which will occur in order to demonstrate to people that a new time has arrived.
Could be explained by Aristotle.
You understand what I mean?
I say.
Could refer, there could be a literal meaning as well. That's all the Rambam is saying. The first shot is saying that there's no literal, that it's all literal. There's no nimshal at all. It's not a mashal at all. That's impossible. Because kimalach ha'ara is there for Hashem. However, he says it could have a literal meaning as well. It could be two meanings in the pasuk. You understand? That mankind will change and also the animals will be different at that time. Either like Aristotle says or else it will be an ass on ha'arabayis. You understand what I mean? Then there's no kashi with the pasuk ki malach alar is deyas Hashem. Because ki malach alar is deyas Hashem is definitely referring to what?
Yeah.
To the nimshal, to man, without any question. That's what the Rambam says. This, the Rambam says, I don't know. I don't know which way it is. You understand? But the Rambam assumes, from what the Rambam says, that the Rambam assumes that Vigor Ze'evim Kevis is literal and also it's a mashal. You see, it's literal and also it's a mashal. That's what the Rambam means. You understand? And then there's no kasha from what he said before. This is what the Rambam means. You understand? Okay, that takes care of one kasha. What was the next kasha? Yes. That's the case. There also could be simply an Nesam HaBayis to demonstrate that a new time has occurred. It's possible.
Why does it demonstrate? You understand? What's the
reason? I don't know why God wants to do it that way. That's possible. That's possible for me. Okay? In other words, a man should really sense. Because people need a demonstration. So this will demonstrate that it's a new time and that has to live differently. It's possible. You see? Oh. Now, the second question.
The second question was
when the Rambam says that we always try to say it's not an ace. Right? We always try, unless proven otherwise. So how come over here, he goes against what he was saying before? Right? So here he has a choice of two ways, and yet he tries and he says it's possible that it's an ace. Right? Okay. There's three possibilities. Let me put it this way. This is what he says. If you want to look at what he says, there's three possibilities. Either Aristotle, that's one. Then the Yitochin Eichu Guzma. Guzma means it's actually, Guzma means just an expression. Dibratar of Lush Navoi, which means that there's no such thing as Gorzev and Keres, it's completely a mashal. That's the second shot. That's what we thought he meant to begin with. And the third shot is that it's an ace. There's three possibilities. Either the Gorzev and Keres, nothing. Don't take a look. There's no literal meaning at all. Or else there is a literal meaning, and literal meaning is like Aristotle. Or else it's really an ace on our bias. Three possibilities. You understand? In the second paragraph, the first paragraph, the Rambam's dealing with one thing, that there's a nimshal. It's stupid to say that it's not a mashal at all, that there's no nimshal. Now he's dealing with the question of whether there is a literal sense also. He says, could be that it's just an exaggeration. Could be that it's Aristotle, could be it's an ace. He says, this I don't know. But there's no contradiction between the second paragraph and the first paragraph. You understand what I mean? Now the question is, now there's only one question to answer. Second question was, the Rambam before says, whenever we have a choice, we always interpret it as what?
Natural.
And here what does he say? Here he says, take a choice. He says, we won't know until it happens. Which means he doesn't know. Why doesn't he try to interpret it to be real? And besides, what kind of biased opinion is that? I mean, if you don't know, so don't say. What does he always try to make it natural? What does it better be natural? The Ram says like this. Listen to Lashon Ram. Ram says like this. He says, "V'hu she'ifa seinu u'she'ifa kalan she'achachma." She'ifa means a desire, objective, ultimate goal. Our goal and the goal of the people, those few people, we call them Yechides Gula, who see that you saw the truth, their goal is completely opposed to the goal of the Messiah, the Messiah of the Balei Torah. Why? He says the Messiah of the Balei Torah always desire to find miracles. He says, but we don't. What does he mean over there? What does Ram mean? Ram means something over there. What does he mean? Very important principle. What does he mean? See? The thing is like this. What's the purpose of learning Torah? What's the purpose of learning Torah? Okay? The purpose of learning Torah is... Peter, ready? Yeah. Okay, you want to say it? Right. The purpose of learning Torah is for a person to gain something, get it? Purpose is for a person to gain something. To gain something. A person wants to gain something, let's put it in loose terms. To gain something... religiously, I hate to use that word, but anyways, I'll use it now vaguely because you'll see why that's the fine way. To gain something, right? Oh. Now it depends what you define as gaining something religiously. Now, to a person who is from the Balei HaTorah HaHamoni, from the Hamon, to them a religious gain is something which is completely unbelievable, self-contradictory, and impossible. He feels, after he sees something like that, he feels tremendous gain. Now I see what Kedusha is, right? So when he studies the Torah, he's trying to gain, right? So therefore, he's always trying to find more miracles, because the more miracles he has, the more he gains in the Torah. Right? One second, where is it? I'll give you a chance to say it. However, if a person says that gain from Torah is knowledge, so on the contrary, he always attempts to find, to explain it in a way that it's intelligible, because if there's an idea there, then he's gained. However, if it's a miracle, he didn't gain anything. He doesn't understand. Well, what do you gain? Nothing. Do you understand what I mean? That's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says our approach is diametrically opposed to the approach of the masses. Because the masses, when they want to gain something, they say, what do they look for? They look for miracles. Oh! And then the guy gave one look and the guy became ashes. Then I gained something. Now I have a new kavanah when I daven. See, that's Hamon. Why? Because to them, when they see a miracle, they feel they've gained a new religious experience. So therefore, they always try to find the Torah. They search for miracles. And the more the miracles they find, the more happy they are, because the more they feel they've raised themselves to a higher level. But the Ram says for us, it's exactly the opposite. Why? Because whenever we don't understand something, when something's a miracle, we gain nothing. We say we don't understand it. We don't gain any knowledge. However, if there's an idea contained there, and we unravel the idea, then we've gained knowledge. So whenever we approach an area, we always try to interpret it in terms of knowledge, so we can gain an idea of it. If we can't, so then we say, okay, that's it, it's a miracle, we can't understand it. That's the number. The gain is always a gain in knowledge. What knowledge did he gain from the nest? Zero. You understand? So he means, the Ram means, whenever we look at Torah, we always attempt to find the idea. So on the contrary, when it's a nest, we're disappointed. It's only an S. We can't get anything. Right, it's an S. God made an S. We did ever. However, if it's part of the world of nature, so then we gain some knowledge. But to them, it's the exact opposite. That's what the Rambam means. Not the Rambam means we force things around over here. We try to make everything natural when we don't know what it is. It means when we search and try to understand, we're trying to gain knowledge, so we try to look for the idea. If we can't find it, then we say, okay, it's an S. The force can't help it. Understand? We're disappointed at the S. That's the difference. Two is diametrically opposed.
Which is the point?
Just the last part of this spirit.
Nothing.
You see, he says like this. Before, he's just explaining his approach. But you have to also say, you see, he mentions the possibility. Could be this. He doesn't mean that he's biased in his ultimate decision. But he searches that maybe there's an idea there. That's what he says. It could be, it's a natural thing. Dude, he can't prove it, so he has to be honest with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Doesn't mean he's going to force the interpretation. But he always searches for the idea. That's what he did. He searches. Maybe it's like Aristotle says. Maybe that's the idea. Maybe not. I don't know. But he searches for the idea. Whereas the other ones try to search only for miracles. That's what he says.
Yeah.
You see?
You have the idea anyway.
You understand? He did exactly what he said before. He searched for the idea. Could be it's a natural phenomenon, like Aristotle says, which shows you an idea in nature which the Torah expresses. You see? But he doesn't have to, he's not biased. He says maybe it is an ace. It's also a possibility, but he searches for the idea. That's the thing. He's not searching for the miracle. Because the miracle doesn't make him any happier. It makes him, on the contrary. That's the Shon Rami. See that? Okay. Now the last part. He says like this. He says we are merachek betachlis harichuk mishili sidrei bereshis, from any change in bereshis. Avoltaya kol mishatayim mishakonim. But what was the mistake of those who preceded us and those who will follow us? The mistake was that they don't understand the difference between things that happen by an ace and things that are permanent. And he brings psukim that are permanent. Olam kimen hagei noeg and deim avin rayim and anase kol ashiyaso lekim hu yelo olam olavein lohisif vein menle in the gray. What is all this? What is the last part of Rambam? There's one more idea contained in this last part in Rambam. Last in his closing words of this parak vav. There's something, there's some important idea here. Anybody address this? He says the people who make mistakes, they don't differentiate between a temporary change and a permanent change. Temporary and permanent. We already mentioned by Navi, temporary and permanent. What's the pshat? If God would make a change in Seder Bereshis, a permanent change, that would mean that the world is not constructed in the most beneficial manner. That's what it would show. Sure. He's correcting it now. See, that is impossible. That's what Shlomo Melech says. Kol ma she'osa ki kol asher yaseh Elokim hu yiyeh le'olam. Why? Because it's created in the most perfect possible way to last forever. It's created in a way that it couldn't possibly be perfected on in any amount. You understand what I mean? So therefore it's impossible to say that God is going to suddenly come along and make changes. Make changes means it's imperfect. He has to perfect it. That's impossible. However, a temporary change is possible. Why is a temporary change possible? Because a temporary change only means that at this time God made Kriyas Yamsuf in order to save the Jews, because the whole world, the purpose of the whole world is Torah, and if the Jews don't get out of Egypt, then there's no purpose for the world. So a temporary change in the law of nature. But not because the law of nature is defective.
It's become permanent.
No. Now, if the change is a permanent change, that means that it's not correct for water to run in a straight line. That's not the order of the world. It would be better if the water would become a wall. You see? That's wrong. Because when God created the world, he created it with the most knowledge, and this is the best way for water to go. You understand? However, at a certain time, at a specific time, it's possible for God to make a change. Why? Because then the change is not vis-a-vis nature. It's not because it's only for a specific expediency. You understand what I mean? For instance, if the whole purpose of the world is for Torah, and if the Jews don't receive the Torah, there's no other nation to receive the Torah. If the Torah won't be given to the whole world, there's no purpose. So therefore, God will intervene at that moment. Why? Because the laws of nature are defective. Because water shouldn't run that way. No, because of a specific purpose. You understand? So it's possible to have a temporary change. Permanent change is impossible. But what does permanent change indicate? That there's a defect in the laws of nature. That's impossible. Same thing with a Navi also. A Navi can change the halachas temporarily, but never permanently. Why? Because the moment the Navi makes a permanent change, what does it show you? It shows you Mishpat Eterah. Defective, they have to be changed. There's something wrong with the Mishpat Eterah. Tayag Mitzvah isn't made for man. You understand? However, temporarily it's possible to have a temporary suspension, because at this time it just so happens that it's better to be over a tefillin. You understand what I mean? It's better at this time. Generally not. Permanent means in a general way. That's what the Rambam says. The mistake of those people who believe that there will be a permanent change in Yemos HaMashiach, he says, they don't understand the difference between a temporary change and a permanent change. If you're going to say that the animal world is going to change, that means the way God created the animal world originally is not the correct way. And the balance of nature is it wasn't created with the greatest knowledge. That's absurdity. That's absurd. Because it was created in the most perfect way. Kol ha-shiyasa lekim hu yelo'ilom olavein lohisif menuin legraya. However, if it's a temporary change, like let's say on Harabaya certain animals lose their instinct, then that's for a specific purpose. That's possible. But to make a permanent change in the animal world, that means a change in the order of nature, that's impossible. Shesh Shemei Bereshis is the greatest chokhmah, and it has to always remain that way. That's what I mean. On the somebody else. Well, the figure of Hanum Farshim is Olam Haba, and this will explain Olam Haba. Mevaren asam machmas am kuso, and we explain it because of its depth and neshu davar shevet tevim and other shel olam. So it's something which has to do with the natural order of the world. Kolamash aras hanefesh. The fact that the soul remains after death is something which is a natural thing. Do you want this? Or just read it through and explain.
Well, read
yourself. Don't need my translation.
Okay.
Okay.
It's on.
Oh, it's on. Okay. L'fikach ha'alu. L'fikach anu mefarshim ha'solam ha'bar. This parak. This is Zion. A man of his method. L'fikach anu mefarshim ha'solam ha'bar. Var masam machmasam kusa. Therefore, we explain because of his death. And they should davar shevet tevim minhagav shelo kol masheras nevesh. Because the natural result that a person lives after his death, natural result which comes from knowledge of the substance of man, what man is. Once you know what man is, you'll understand why he must exist after death. Remember, I want some proof from the ideas of the soul and the okay. So that's why there's something to explain over there. Have a p'chias ha'mesim. A p'chias ha'mesim who you need. See, it's a miracle. U'pashit mo'ad, a very simple thing. Shen yana move on. It's explained very ordinarily. There's no reason to talk about it. Vein sham kim lahamin bo'bo'fa. The only thing is, that's to believe that it's true, to know that it's true. Kefisha bo lo no ha'ad do'amitis. Since we know the proof that it's true from the Nevi'im. V'u'inyi mechutz l'teva metzias. And something outside the realm of nature. Vein alav raya mederachin. You can't prove it. Varei knows bin a kol nisim, and it's just like any other nation. Well, we came to cover myself. Lo yosef, always accepted. No more. See, most people talk about these things. Again, it goes back to the other one. Was it literally? They talk about these pchis amesim. Ah, why? Because to them, the whole purpose is to show something, show the godless of Torah, the greatness of God, for something which is against reason, which is not against reason, but non-reason. It doesn't have reason. Mystical. They talk about it late. But the Ram on the contrary, there's nothing rational to talk about. There's an action, there's a mission, that's it. To work.
You can't make any rational reason.
No, you can't. The Nesh itself, there's nothing to explain. There's a reason why the Nesh, but in the Nesh itself, there's nothing to explain.
Right, then why is the law natural?
Oh, very simple. Because natural means that it comes from the inherent nature of those other things which exist. So therefore you have to show the relationship between the inherent nature of the thing and the results. Right? But if it's just an A, so it's a quark, there's nothing to explain. What could we say about this? Or talk at length about? Hayala Alev Shana Mitvakshim Lovi Rayas Iunios Lachaya Ben Tchias HaMesim. Can anybody imagine that we should try to bring proofs why Tchias HaMesim must occur? There's no doubt that what do these people want? That we should publish in our chibur. It's a drasha. Shenemur binyan zeh. All the drasha that are mentioned in these things. Velson hagaras, no lagaras. And this is very much in line with the other people, not us, others. Was in line with the objective of the people who who are the machaber, who are the author, the authors of these books. But atem mikehilos misha'ayin b'chiburenu. But you from the people who looked into our books, fayadatem. You know already. Kidachenu tamid lahashmin as a machlokes avikucha ma'union. We always omit all these machlokes. The ilu yicholnu l'raches mishpatei kol haTorah b'perek echad. And if we were able to organize all the ideas of Torah in one perek. Wouldn't have made it into two. How can they demand of us we should mention the drushes and the agudas? They already found their place. They found the Gemara.
Big writer.
No purpose to repeat them again and say, oh, we published a big book. So far I said nothing about the Chesmeh. That's one. You just really have that's one. And since we got this far, and this is the whole objective of this, to get this far. And we took a look and we saw that it has nothing new added to nothing at all. Because it only repeats again what was said already in Pirshim Mishnayis and in the Yad Chazaka. The Tosfos Bir Lachol Ma'at Havana Omegis Daito, a little additional explanation for people who have a little bit of knowledge or have thick heads. Ra'inu Shelo La'nicha L'lo Chidush HaMo'ol. So therefore, we didn't want to leave it go without saying anything new. V'nedabar Shtei Shalos HaMasimot L'Nizeh. And we'll speak about two questions about Chidush HaMo'ol. Fa'achas, one is like this. Bir Nyami Apsukim HaLolo HaMarubim Ma'od HaNamsam B'mikra HaMorim HaRoa B'rura Sheinus HaVelos Bir. He says, first of all, explain the psukim, many psukim, which would seem not to accept any clarification. And they say, Shenazas Bior es Shlilas Tchias HaMesim.
All right.
that tells you the negation of Tchias HaMesim. Many psukim that negate Tchias HaMesim, that seem to be inexplicable in any other way. Kigan Amrav, as the Pasuk says, and Yamos Gever HaYechia, what's going to get it? Person dies, will live again. Uk Amrav, Kola Onan Vayelech, Ken Yerich Sheol Lo Yaleh. Just like the Onan goes away and the clouds go away and never comes back, so too a guy goes down to the grave, never get up again. B'terem Eilech V'lo Ashev, before I leave and I won't return. Apparently he can never come back. Zeb Be'ir from Rav Milisbar. This is mentioned in the of many, many places. V'machitzkiya V'lo Yishbru Yor Devor Alamitcha Cha Alamitcha Chai Hu Yaitcha Kamayni Hayayim V'mizem Ashmech Yor Devor Heim HaMeisim. So Yor Devor is the Meisim and the Lekana praise God and will never return. Says that we will die in like water which is spilled to the ground, it can never be returned. Will you make a miracle for the mason? Will they ever come up and praise you? Apparently never going to come back. The spirit goes away and never returns. And if you will study all the Lashonos HaMikra, Tim Tzayim B'derach Klal, show them Tzitz Mesa, most of them negate Tzitz Mesa. Probably come up Pshatim B'Yeshaya, except for many simple Pesukim in Yeshaya. V'imo'in Yisbar, Shehem Bilti Brurim, Imei Mashalot Pshutim. When you analyze them, you don't know whether they are clear, whether these Pesukim are really literal, or whether they're Mashal. The only pasuk you have that really says openly that the list of is only the Neil. But Amrei, when it says the Rabbim Yishene Admas Ofer Yakitzu, and many of those who sleep in the ground will arise. The Amru, and it says the Tanuach V'Tamod LeGoralecha LeKeitzinim, and you will go to sleep and then you'll stand up again. You'll rise again at the end of time. And this also caused people to be very perplexed. Some of these were very doubtful about the Tchias HaMesim. And those who say that it is true, Tchias HaMesim, Niskiku Levar, Kol Pasuk, Mehasna Pesukim, Habru, Biurim, Rechotim, Mogum, Oskabel. They're explaining the other Pesukim in a very, very far-fetched manner. That's one question. Second question is Mashlo is Kira HaTori Yisod Zeklal. Why did the Torah itself ever mention Tchias HaMesim? See yourself. After Remit, even in an illusion, the Kosh came to Firish, and certainly the Torah mentioned openly. Vimlo Yien Monos Milomar Shator Rams Ali Yisod. Then, if you're going to say that, you can't say the Torah didn't allude to it. The Yom Ruoso Madvar Mashe Eskiru Bamar Minayim of Tchias HaMesim and Atarim. People will bring riots from the Chazal that say, having a Tchias HaMesim and Chazal bring the Pesukim. Harei Kol Mashe Yochel Omar Lomar, the most you could say is Shehem Remozin V'Simonim Nistarim. They're very hidden, very very vague allusions to it. Vul Bifrat Shehachomim Chalukim Bahem, and especially even the Chachomim themselves argue about them, so it's not proven. V'tiyan Kein She'ela Zu Ashniyah. If that's the case, the second question will be Madu Lo Niskezeh B'chol Pashtuso B'Biror She'en Esov El Hezer. Why doesn't the Torah mention it clearly in a way that you can't explain it in any other way? El Niska Lefi Machsheva Tachoshev. But it is mentioned in a way K'misha Mistater B'Amiras Dova Roshach Le'Eskel, like a person is hiding something, doesn't want to let it out, doesn't want to say what it is. V'Naimar B'Tshuvo Hashelo Rishena. And now we'll answer the first question. Shadivrei Anavim L'shanos Pesukim Lo Bo Ela L'Tar Tev HaMetzias HaRogel. That the Pesukim only came to tell you what the normal way of life is. V'yadua K'tev HaMetzias HaZu He is Chabrus Nikvas Hachaya Zev Zichro. And the normal process is that the Zohar lives within the Keva Molid Madom Olehem. And then they have children which are like them. U'mitpateach HaNolad La'at La'at. And the one who is born develops little by little Ad Sheshayomus Oso HaPrat until this individual dies. And it's not part of the natural order that this person that dies should come back and have children again after he dies. Elamashi b'teva who? But what is according to the natural order? According to the natural law, in meisu ishe balei achayim leyachzul olamosam ishim. When a person dies, that's it, he never returns. El nifsadim, but he is lost, the mispardim, lot lot, and they disintegrate little by little. Lachi yachzul olayasodos, until they return to the elements. To the elements from which they were was created, total disintegration into the original elements. There'll never be left anything from him, anything specific. And say this guy was like this. There's nothing left. But man only, and also that man only has a part of God. Shefa Lakim means the influence of God, something non material, which is given to him by God, which has a relationship to God. And therefore, it must be, like we mentioned last time, proof. There must be something in him which will never be destroyed. Because this thing is not material. But the physical body raised the kola. It's completely destroyed. Just like any other animal destroyed. And anyone that has investigated the area can also prove with proofs that the part of man which is indigenous to man remains after death. That part of man which defines him as man remains after death. Who should kind of suffer the suffering of who are nefesh or ruach? Beshitav. They're called nefesh and ruach. Beshitav means synonymously. The kiloyan haguf, the chazarasa lamasha hukuf menu osa min shal chazara, and the destruction of the body and its return to what originally, to the elements from which it was created. Moshem akasav yashiv afra la'art, shayev ruach tashav ala lakim ashinasna. And the psukim tell you that the ruach goes pasuk, that the man returns to the ground, pasuk kalas. And the spirit turns to God, which means that it exists forever. This is normal. And according to this, all these psychomores are stated. Doesn't make any difference if you say if a person dies, shall he become alive again? Same thing. This is not according to the natural law, that a stone is going to give out water, or that a person that dies should live again. But still you see the water came out of the rock through a miracle. So too, Chiyas HaMesim is only a miracle. There's no difference when we say, shall a black man change his color? Or when we say, shall you make a miracle for the dead? We see Moshe Rabbeinu's hand turned white. And if a person will say that it is not correct to assume that those things which don't have life shall move. That's true according to natural law. However, this doesn't deny the fact that the mata became a snake. See how he defines the mata becoming a snake? He says, and if a person will say that it's not proper to define the mata becoming a snake, simply that it acquired the accident of motion, but not that it really was a real snake.
Why
does that say? He says dam, all means the color of dam. Doesn't really mean to go down.
Why?
See, this, the answer to that problem is this. It really is the Ram and Mona Lachim. The Ram talks about the impossible. But the Ram says there are different things. That which is impossible, God can't do either. He says God can only do that which is possible. But that which is impossible, God can't do. And there's a tremendous problem as to what exactly is impossible, according to natural law. You see? Some say, Ram mentioned over there, some say that in essence can't be converted. In essence can't be converted. In other words, that if the essence of a thing is one thing, its essence can't be converted to something else. Because that's impossible. It's just defined as this. How can it be that? You see? He goes into whether it could. He says it's a very hard problem to answer. Because he says you start going through the imagination. You start going to the area of imagination. Start imagining. Good. Okay. It's very hard to know the rules over there because we only know the rules of what we see according to the laws of nature. We don't know what the.
Right.
That's what he said. So apparently, it would appear from this the Ram held that it's an impossibility. That's what it appeared.
Changing the essence.
But I'm mistaken. I didn't see that Ram in a long time. I think the Ram says that the properties, that the only thing in Nissan is that the properties are changed, the accidents are changed. But not the essence itself. I'm practically positive. I don't remember exactly. I know the Ram remember this for a long time. I think that's what the Ram Shit is. The Chazal said the other way. Chazal said that nothing has changed, not even the accident. That's why Chazal say that all these things existed from before Sheshi Mei Bereshis. That's what they mean when they say that. As I'll say, that the Mate Maisha and all these things is before Sheshem Ebrishis. Before Shias HaChamah and Sheshem Ebrishis. Why? Because they said there's never any change in natural order. They maintain, Chazal maintain, that there can't be any real change. So therefore, the Yena, the Bayena, the what it called?
The whale.
The whale, not the whale. It says the dog guddle. By Yena, Chazal say, Memuna Hoya Oysa Dog Mesheshem Ebrishis. Because the man can't live inside a whale, he's going to die. The guest of juice will destroy. So how come Yena was able to? So Chazal said it was a special whale. That whale was all these things that created Sheshem Ebrishis, and they were waiting from that date for this specific event. That's what they say. Why? Because they maintain nothing can be changed.
So what's the miracle of Columbus? What is the miracle of
Columbus? Ram disagrees. According to them, I have to define miracle totally different. According to them, miracle doesn't mean a real change in the law of nature. It means something which was...
The law of age, probably,
right.
What?
That the...